Okay, so I think we can get going on the second of the three round tables for today. I'd like to thank the participants in the first one for really generating a very lively discussion, and I think we've got big hopes for the next two as well. This round table, the particular topic, is to examine the cultural dimensions of linguistic barriers in healthcare, and we'll have Dr. Yves Caen, who will moderate the session. Eve is an associate professor in the School of Physical and Occupational Therapy at McGill. She is the scientific director of the Center for Interdisciplinary Research in Rehabilitation of Greater Montreal. Her research interests include the study of linguistic representations, organization and access in individuals across different languages, and the study of language breakdown in acquired and developmental language disorders, and the impact of language disorders on the individual's everyday life. We'll have three presenters in this order. To lead off, Dr. Anne Lias is a professor in the Department of Community Health and Epidemiology at the College of Medicine, University of Saskatchewan. She's trained in health psychology and community health. She co-directed a CIHR-funded Canadian research network to study health disparities among Francophones and minority situations between 2006 and 2011. And she currently leads a bilingual participatory research project focusing on promoting physical health and healthy eating among 3 to 5 year olds attending daycares with a grant from the Public Health Agency of Canada. And for the past 10 years, she's been involved in the Santé en Français movement at the local, provincial, and national levels. Société Santé en Français is somewhat equivalent to Community Health and Social Services Network here in Quebec. The second speaker is Dr. Joanne Pocock, who is a research consultant with experience in evaluation policy, analysis, and multi-method research techniques. Her primary focus has been building knowledge of the situation of Quebec's linguistic minority communities for the federal government and the provincial institutions, networks, and community organizations that serve the minority communities. Dr. Elma Moses is a member of the Cree Nation of East Maine. She grew up on the land and is a residential school survivor. She recently completed her PhD in education at McGill. Her research explores the impact of residential school experience and the transmission of sacred stories. She worked as an assistant principal and high school teacher in the Cree communities. She currently teaches part-time undergraduate courses in the First Peoples Studies program at Concordia. Her research interests are in oral tradition, indigenous knowledge and methodologies, sacred stories as healing, and the residential school experience. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to Anne.
Merci beaucoup. Bonjour tout le monde. Hi.
Good morning. When it hurts in your language and culture. That's what you will hear today. My presentation is in English, and I will speak in English because I teach in English frequently, but you will hear French throughout my presentation.
How do you describe pain in English? So you can see a whole list of words. Some of them, I don't even know them myself. But this is what you find on the pain chart. So imagine that you're someone who doesn't speak English or doesn't understand all the connotations there. So, douleur en français. So we have
these words to describe pain in French. The words to describe pain are different, and the attitude facing pain varies according to your language and culture. I take that as an example to bring us to the topic.
Today is to try to actually look at conceptual framework of culture. Who are the Francophones in minority situations in Canada? Very, very, very briefly. Levels of cultural and linguistic barriers to health services, which was kind of the mandate we had this morning, and talking about la Société Santé en Français very briefly. Breaking down these barriers. This is one of the frameworks of many, but I like the kind of the dynamic multi-level model of a culture by Erez and Gatti, and kind of which actually underscores the fact that actually culture is found at all the layers of society, starting at the individual level, family levels, the group culture that you kind of belong to the global culture. And you have actually top-down effects and bottom-up effects, and actually in the panel before, you know, where this was actually alluded to. So whether the influence of ethnocultural and linguistic factors, we know that culture ethnicity, language influence how people understand health and illness, and their beliefs, perceive and evaluate their own health, make lifestyle choices, participate in prevention, health promotion, etc. Dominant healthcare values may contribute to marginalization or, on the contrary, kind of help people, but may also devaluate own language and culture. And so we actually find this. We have quite a few examples. These are the Francophones in Canada, outside Quebec, obviously. So you see Quebec, we don't have numbers here. We are concerned about the others. So you can see what is interesting is that you can see in New Brunswick here, you have 32% of the population who is Francophone, whereas in British Columbia, it's 1.5, and in Saskatchewan, 1.6. So they're diverse, and they're spread out on a huge territory, as you know. So the Francophone minority situation, and this was alluded to as well, one language, we all speak French, although we have accents, you know, many regional accents, you know, and I can tell you in New Brunswick, sometimes, you know, you have to kind of listen very carefully to know what they are saying. Many, many cultures, diverse origins, you know, from Quebec, from France, from Africa, there are many, many countries in the world who speak French. And when we come together, we don't have the same frame of references. So psychological adjustment challenges among youth, you may be ashamed to be part of a minority, and it was especially true when you in provinces where there is no institutions, where everything is kind of small and you have to make up your own cultural context and so on. Francophones are often dispersed, isolated within provinces and territories. I've talked about women, especially often women and the community in general have to actually take care of their own and help. And now with the new recent immigration, certainly in the West, with immigrants coming and refugees coming from all over the place, people have to face additional hurdles in trying to fit in the minority situation. They move to the West, and I talk from the West because this is what I know best. And they think they will be able to speak French, and they can't. And they cannot find a job because they are not bilingual, not because they are not skilled. So another reality is we are dealing with 12 different healthcare systems, and they all have their own cultures and their own ways of doing things. So it's not so provinces and territories. I just give you an example. Now, we talked about demographics. This was it's from 2001, but I think it's still the same. Here you can see the percentage of the population. This is the from the Anglophones in Saskatchewan, and you compare it to the Francophone. You can see it's just the reverse pyramids for Francophones in Saskatchewan. So this means different healthcare needs and different issues. I also wanted to use this example. You know, here you can see on this chart that here you have the Anglophone. This is actually the level of bilingualism. This is a level of bilingualism of Anglophones outside Quebec. And this is the bilingualism of the Francophone outside Quebec. So you can see Francophones have actually had to adjust and speak English in order to get heard or get any services. And then here you can see yourself in Quebec. So the gap between Anglophones who speak French outside Quebec and the Francophones who speak English, who are bilingual, is huge. We all know that language barriers have been shown to discourage people from using healthcare services for reasons of prevention or increased consultation. It has an impact on the quality of healthcare and security, and we all know that. So really in our milieu, we are just using the fact that health services need to be addressed in one's own language because it's a question of quality and security. So what are the cultural dimensions of linguistic barriers to access to health services? And I just want to touch on some example of the individual factors, the issue of the minority context, and also the majority context. So some of the individual factors related to language and culture, there are historical factors, and I think you're all aware of it, especially in Western Canada. French actually was forbidden for many, many years. You know, at the beginning of the century, when people were expected to say bilingual, and they were, didn't. And so the only ones who survived, who actually went to school and in French, and when the English inspector came, they kind of pretended it was in English, and they changed the books. So that's the reality, and so this has a profound impact on the society and Francophones. The demographics, you know, people come from different places, and they are often vulnerable, especially children, and, you know, we have an older population. Socioeconomic status, when I arrived in the West, people said, you have a problem? Oh, but you're among the wealthy. And I said, pardon me? And they thought that we were wealthy because they were associating the Francophone community to the people who go to French immersion schools. So people, you know, educated people go to French immersion schools. And I said, no, we are like Anglophones, but we live in our own languages, and we have actually the poor and we have the wealthier. So the minority complex. Children don't like to be identified as Francophones. It's better now with our school system. Since 1990, we have, you know, in the 90s, we kind of got our schools back and kind of the management of schools, and this has helped with actually the pride of, you know, the population and the communities, and for the kids also to learn French and speak French outside of just the school. So there is a range of ability. People don't dare to speak in French, or they don't have the patience to ask for services. You know, when we say, well, you should ask for services in French. So, well, you know, you have to wait twice as long, if not three times, and then you're served by someone who doesn't speak French very well. So you said, never mind, and you speak in English. I just want to kind of show you that. This is actually a poster, and that you don't need to read it, but this is, I'm very proud of that, because last year I had to mentor within the College of Medicine, my Faculty of Medicine, which is Anglophone, you know, teach in English. We had a group of students who spoke French, and they wanted to do a project. This was part of looking at non-medical determinants of health. And so I kind of mentored them. And what they did some interviews. And this is the result of interviews, and they tried to map it. And then what was interesting in this poster is that they had to come up with the multi-level approach to address language barriers in healthcare. And this is it, and they had to actually write letters. And what they came up with is that they had to write, they wrote to the dean to kind of say that they should be more better trained to actually deal with, you know, situation of languages. For example, for Francophones or even ethnoculturals, that they should have, you know, be taught how to speak and how to use an interpreters if they need to, because they're not taught how to. And they also said to the health region, they said, you have interpreters, or so-called, you have a list, but where is this list? Please have this list available on wards, so we know who to call, and we don't have to wait 15 minutes to find out where is the interpreters and which one would be appropriate. And also they wrote to the Minister of Health. So I thought this was kind of so neat that I wanted to share this experience with you. And yes, probably I'm already on. Okay, I also wanted to talk, this is another illustration. You have idiomatic expressions and words to talk about health issues. So, qu'est-ce que ça veut dire une patiente qui dit que ma tante Rose?
What does the patient mean by say that tante Rose doesn't no longer visit?
No. So, the images, you know, you have to understand what it means. Quelle partie du corps allez-vous examiner si on...
What part of the body will you examine if you said you're going to have a fouilleur? Or to have a bump on the jambeau.
Or les chenolles, which is the sorry? Oui. En tout cas, donc, just to kind of show you that there are really specific language. And so here, the example, with le CNFS, le Consortium National de Formation Santé, they have actually helped to, this was actually developed first as a book, and now you have a website. To kind of help deal with these kind of idiomatic expressions. You have the minority effect at the community institution level. Minority is not visible. We are a minority that is not visible. We don't have skin color difference, and often we don't know who is actually Francophone or Anglophone. And we have no critical mass in terms of institution. We heard before that institutions are very important, and we have none. Healthcare professionals are not strategically placed. You know, seniority is more important. So obviously, we have schools that don't have a Francophone Francophone schools who don't have Francophone nurses. It's totally illogic. There is also a negative or questioning attitudes by the majority. Do you really need to speak in French, you know, like? So services are not offered openly and actively, and often people actually don't request it. And I have to actually say this week, I was in the hospital myself. I had a minor surgery, so I almost didn't make it here. And actually, you know, I was so preoccupied by my own situation that I forgot to speak, to ask for services in French. So I spoke in English, and then suddenly there was a nurse who came to me and said, "Oh, est-ce que vous ne parlez pas français?"
Don't you speak in French?
And then I started to speak in French with her, and I felt so much better. But it was, I had this little experience this week again, and I said, I cannot believe it. And I've been in this field for, you know, 15 years. So anyway, sense of belongings. You were talking about this sense of belonging. You see the Anglophone in Quebec, and this is actually interesting because the Anglophones in Quebec have a kind of a greater sense of belonging to the Anglophone groups compared to the Francophones outside Quebec. There is way, way less, you know, feeling of belonging to the Francophone groups. And this is actually based on the 2006 Vitality survey for Francophones 50 plus. Yes, I'm almost out of time, but I'm almost done too. Oops. Sorry, I did do a silly thing here. I should press what? How to get out of this? Sorry.
Go to the next page.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's done. And then the majority effect at the societal level, just an example. You know, this is how we feel often, kind of. So I just wanted to show here, there are two examples I want to show. This is in, we're talking about British Columbia. When you look at this graph produced by kind of Statistics Canada, you actually realize there are lots of people, for example, physicians in British Columbia who speak French, but they are not at the right place and they are not providing services and they are not self-identifying themselves and they often have no French name, so we have no idea if they speak French. You know, they have this is Smith and the wider and whatever, but they are not French. So we have sometimes the healthcare workforce, but it's not at the right place. And I just wanted to give the other example, which is actually variables related to the languages in CHI-HI. CHI-HI is the Canadian Institute for Health Information. And they actually did a little survey of their databases. They could not find the linguistic variable, French or English, was only found in 7 of them. And there was no uniform definitions of the linguistic variable. This is the way the questions were asked. So how can you compare between surveys to know if people receive services or what they did or whatever? So I think this is a problem. La Société Santé en Français spread around Canada, and basically we're built on the model of partnerships between the people, the political leaders, training institution, and the CNFS I see is represented here, the healthcare professionals, communities, and health professionals. It is actually a wonderful partnership, and this model is reproduced in each network in each province and territories. Someone mentioned the importance of language. Depending on what the issue is, the language becomes very, very important. And I like really this graph because it kind of illustrates these points very well. I don't have time to kind of go over it because I'm out of time. And I just want to kind of flash through the rest to show that we have done a lot of linguistic and cultural adaptation. This is actually in motion en mouvement. In Saskatchewan, we have actually adapted the whole in motion strategy for en mouvement in French and adapted it, not only translated, but adapted it so it actually fits our own culture and it works. LEAP is another one. This is actually what we use now in daycares. It's actually a program that was developed in Victoria. It's an initiative for families and caregivers and daycare centers to foster literacy education, play and activity, and enhance physical activity and nutrition and literacy. We adapted it, and actually the way it was adapted is all the Parents Association in the West, they were so keen to have this resource that they actually pulled their own resources to find someone who translated, and they adapted it, and we changed all the songs and all the readings so it would fit. It would fit our own culture. And now it's actually going to be used in all the Western provinces, and we just got some money, as you heard in my bio, to actually extend it everywhere in Saskatchewan, French and English, and in New Brunswick. And one of the key is at the high level is actually to embark the government. The government has to actually put regulations in place or bills to actually support French language or, you know, the minority language. And so because this demonstrates its commitment, and it's a way to actually ensure sustainability. And so this was done in Nova Scotia. It's done in Manitoba as well. British Columbia, I talked about it, so I will leave it. And this is in New Brunswick, you know, building a community in healthy communities, and they have developed a whole kind of resources, and they have a really, really nice connection with their government to work both in English and French. So that's it. Towards solution at each level of the ecological model. Maybe this is for discussion later. Active offer of services is key. We have to be creative to reorganize services. And I can talk about some example in PI where they just moved seniors in one part of the building, and they assigned people who can speak French. So it's not the whole building, it's just a piece of the building, and it works. Targeted training to improve communication between healthcare professionals and legitimize services in the minority official language through legislative measures. And dispel myths. I didn't know you were talking about myths, but I agree with that. Thank you.